15 this evening. I'll be reading some verses there and talking to you a few minutes. This message is a little bit different in this sense. It's what to do is something that's got to be individually up to you as far as how you do that, apply what we're preaching tonight. And I want to talk about how we can remember to remember. How we can remember to remember. And Numbers 15 is where I'm going to be. How we can remember to remember. Numbers 15, and I'm going to start at verse 37. It said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, that they may put the fringe of the borders a ribband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart, and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember to do all my commandments, and to be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. All right, let's pray, and we'll talk about remembering to remember. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for this great passage of Scripture. Your word's so full and rich, Lord, and we'll look around it a little bit tonight. Lord, I pray that thy Spirit would speak to us. I pray we'd get what you have for us, and I pray that you would do a mighty work, Lord. And thank you for all you do, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for giving us the word. Now, may the Spirit be speaking to every heart, whatever the need is, and work in a powerful, powerful way. And each mind, each heart needs something, Father, and I pray we'd each get something from the Scripture. And by your Spirit and through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what started, but the other day I was thinking about where I used to live. And we used to live in a rough area. And we were 5 minutes from the murder capital of America. Gary, Indiana, at the time was the murder capital of America. And every year, you said one of every 1,000 residents were murdered, and that was Gary at that time. And I actually worked in Gary at the time at night. And our house was a little ways away, but it wasn't in the best neighborhood. The only thing that was good about our neighborhood is our apartments were at our apartments. It was full of our people from our Bible college. The apartment manager found out that the Bible college students didn't have drunken parties, and it was low rent apartment, and so these people would stay there. They wouldn't get drunk. They wouldn't have domestic violence problems. They wouldn't break the windows, and they'd pay their bills, and so they filled these things up with Bible college students. That lasted until somebody applied for it and didn't get in there who wasn't one of the Bible college students, and they sued the apartments and for religious discrimination. And actually, there wasn't a religious thing. They didn't care about the religion. They just cared about the actions. But the apartments had to change that, and the apartments became a nasty set of nasty apartments that became a lot of problems and things broken and all those things later on, fortunately, after I left. But we lived in those apartments, and there were some problems there. Occasionally, some of the residents who weren't part of our college would get in big fights and break windows and scream and say they're going to kill each other and do the stuff that your neighbors do if you live in apartments now. And so they did those things, and they had those, and it was pretty scary, and the neighborhood is pretty scary. And we had three babies, all in diapers, and we lived in a two-bedroom apartment, but it was not a big two-bedroom apartment. It was about 750 square feet, and we were crammed in there with five of us, and I was thinking back, just about how glad I am that I don't live there anymore. Not only apartments, but the area. I like mountains. I like trees. And the trees and the mountains there just aren't the same in the Midwest. I like hills. There's no hills there. And I just decided, you know what? I'm glad I don't live there anymore. I'm glad I don't have to. But you know, I hadn't felt that kind of appreciation for my house and my neighborhood and everything else. I haven't felt that since I remembered where I used to live. Sometimes you don't appreciate your car until you remember what kind of cars you've driven before. I was telling someone, I didn't realize I hadn't told that story for so long. I had a 1983 Granada, and fine car, and 1983 Ford Granada, and I remember in Chicagoland, everything rusts because of the salt. All the cars rust, and they usually don't last that long. This is probably 93, 94, and they usually don't last that long, so it was getting pretty rusty, and one thing it rusted was a gas tank. And the gas tank rusted on top, and so I tried to fix it, but I just couldn't get it fixed, and I couldn't afford to buy a new gas thing for it. And I tried to JB weld it and all kinds of things. I couldn't get it fixed, and so what I had to do is not fill it all the way, because the leak was in the top, and so I never filled my gas tank all the way, but one day I forgot. And the car was, I was just tired of the car, and the car was, you know, it was having issues and all kinds of things wrong with it. And I remember I forgot and I filled it. And as I was driving home, I was leaving a trail of gasoline behind me. It was pouring out. And cars were honking at me and people were trying to pull me over and everything like that. What am I supposed to do? Let it leak until it quits leaking. And so I drove home and I was tired. The reason I forgot not to fill it is because I was coming home from work and I hadn't slept the day before, and I worked graveyard, and it was 7 a.m. and my car was running out of gas, and I pulled the gas station, got out, clicked it on, clicked off, filled it up, went back to my car. And you know, there's a certain level of tired where you don't care. And you're just like, they're going, hey, you're leaking gas. I know. Leave me alone. And so basically what I did is I drove the rest of the way home, exhausted, parked my car. And I figured the gas is about done. What I didn't figure on is I parked next to the curb, and it kind of tilted it, and the leak was on that side. And so, I don't know, maybe 2 hours later, my wife wakes me up and says, honey, there is firemen and hazardous material crew all around our car. And you ever know what you feel like when you haven't slept at all, and then you've slept 2 hours? And you wake up, you don't know where you are. And I look outside, and there's the hazardous material crew and the firemen, and they're all surrounding my car. My beautiful car. And I walk out there half asleep. And they said, is your car, sir? And I said, yes. And they said, you know, it's leaking gas. I said, you're about the seventh person who's told me that today. And they said, you can't drive this car. It's not safe. And I said, well, okay. Sorry about that. I'll pray about it. And went back in my house. And just remember that I didn't have any money. I couldn't get another car. Couldn't fix the car. And say, you know what, when it gets done leaking, I'll park it somewhere else tomorrow. And I won't fill it up again. Just thinking, man, those are rough days. My car doesn't look so bad anymore. You know, the remembering thing really does a lot for you. And it really makes you appreciate things. And how many of you remember times in your life where you remember and just go, oh, man. Remember those times? Oh, you just don't. And that does that. But what it does, it makes you appreciate if you're not in that time anymore. Maybe you're in that time right now where you think of right now and go, oh. And hopefully someday if you can make it, you can get out of there and remember back. God told the Jewish people, I want you to make something on your outfits. And later in Deuteronomy 22, in verse 12, he talks about your garments should be in four pieces. Israel was very, God was their, it was their God's nation. He had them live under a theocracy, and he was giving them these rules that they're going to live under. And he had all kinds of things just with them and him that were personal. And he told them, I want you on your garments to have a little tassel. Probably four of them, it looks like, you put the passages together. And they hang down on the bottom of your clothes there. They just kind of hang down. And you're going to interweave them with blue. So you see the bright blue colors. And they will be a fringe around your clothing. Most people think they hung down. Some people think they just kind of went along the bottom. And you're going to have those things. And blue is probably in the Bible a color of a picture of heavenly things. And you're going to use this. And whenever you look at this thing, it's going to remind you of the Word of God. He says, verse 39, and it shall be unto you a fringe, that you may look upon it, remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them. Now he says, now I want you to, when you look at this, it's going to make you remember the Bible. But what I don't want you to do is I want you to remember also when you use bad judgment. You know what their bad judgment was, he says? The bad judgments was their own hearts and minds. It says, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you use to go a-whoring. You find the Word of God, is as we read in that prayer letter, a plumb line. How you feel is very variable and isn't good to rely on. What you want and what you see, yeah, bad desires, you change all the time. It's good to have the Word of God. And he says, I want you to, whenever you see that little thing in your clothing, whenever you see it there, it's going to make you remember, you know what? God is good. See that blue color? Oh, yeah, I got to remember the Word of God and how wonderful it is to have God's law. And it's going to bring it to remember. It's just a little thing on your clothing to help you remember it. And so it's very important about that. Right before this happened, what happened is a man went out on the Sabbath day and worked when he wasn't supposed to. And at that time, underneath the law, it was capital punishment to work on the Sabbath. This guy didn't remember, he did it on purpose, and he worked on the Sabbath, and they had to punish him and kill him. And then God says, hey, put a fringe in your garments so you remember stuff. You ever have a hard time remembering something and you say, I've got to remember this? This morning I went I had to remember to bring the meat for Saturday to give to some of the men to cook, and the special meat. And so I left a note in the door right by the doorknob, so I'd see it. And a little reminder there, just to bring your mind back to that thing, and try to get you to remember things, and try to make you not forget about thing. Maybe this guy, God said, you know, these humans forget things. Any reminder? Why don't you put this in your clothing? So every time you put it in your clothing, you'll see this little thing hanging down. Maybe four of them on your clothing. You'll see the color blue standing out from your plain clothes. And you'll say, oh yeah, the Word of God. Am I following God? And what does the Bible say? And thank God that I have the Bible now. Let me not go back to just my own ways and going back to sinful things that made our life so bad. It's to help them to remember and to do that. Remembering really helps. I was reading a book about a lady who had came out of addiction, and she kept a picture constantly with her of when she was a meth addict. And she was skin and bones and looked terrible. And she says every time she saw that picture, and when she saw the picture, she said, I don't want to go back to being that. She didn't even know what she looked like at the time. But somebody forced her to take a picture of her, and afterwards she says, oh my soul, I look like I'm about to die. And she was. And she looked at that picture when she's tempted to go back to that. And remembering does a lot of things for you. Remembering is good for you. You tend to not appreciate things if you cannot remember things. You tend, if you never remembered hard times, to know how good the good times are. You tend to not know how good America is if you don't remember other countries, what it's like to live there. It's easy for me. I'll be in Haiti in a week and a half. It's easy for me to remember how good America is. Many people don't remember how good it is to live here and how nice running water is and things like that. And remembering does a lot of good things. Let me give you a few things remembering helps you do. Number one, it helps you do right. In verse 39, we see that. And then verse 40, that you remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto the Lord your God. Remembering helps you to do right. Remembering how much you love your family. Remembering how good your spouse is. It is good to be married. Remembering the good things they've done for you. Remembering how good you want, how much you wanted children. Remembering when you're without hope and all those things. It helps you to do the right thing. Number two, it keeps you from falling. I'm going to go way in the New Testament, 2 Peter and chapter 2. It keeps you from falling. It helps you to do right, and then it keeps you from falling. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, but he that lacketh these things and is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. It keeps you from falling. Listen, one of the greatest things you'll ever do in your spiritual life, and it gives a many list of many things, but one of those things is not forgetting you were saved. Listen, one of the greatest things you'll ever do is remember before you accepted Christ what life was like. Remembering when you asked Jesus Christ into your life and you knew that heaven was your home. You knew your sins were forgiven. You knew the joy of the Lord. You knew what it was like to finally know the answers of life. Boy, remembering when you were saved. That's why we sing about it so often in so many songs. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. I think of "And Can It Be?" Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in chains and darkness. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke the darkness, changed the light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed the amazing love. How can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Remembering what it's like to be saved. And I want to say tonight, if you're not saved, if you don't know heaven's your home, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, let me tell you, it's something to get saved and remember what it's like before Christ. It is darkness to light. It's not becoming religious. It's accepting Christ and being born again and letting Him into your life. And if you've never done that, I hope you'll do that tonight. It keeps you from falling, going back to your own life. It's amazing. Israel, after being enslaved and crying for their misery and torture as slaves in Egypt, when they forgot how bad it was in Egypt and they went into the Sinai Peninsula, they forgot what it was like in Egypt and they wanted to go back. Don't want to go back to the old sinful life. Don't want to go back to the world. You know what? You remember what it was like without Christ. You remember what it's like in sin. And yes, the promise of fun for a little while, and then the emptiness and hopelessness that it brings, they can never satisfy the soul. It can just try to calm the emptiness for a little while by entertainment and fun and drugs and alcohol and partying and everything else, but it never satisfies your soul. Only Jesus Christ satisfies a thirsting soul. You'll never thirst again, but you must remember what it was like before Christ, or you'll go back to it. What else is remember doing? It keeps you stirred up. It keeps you stirred up. He says, verse 13 of 2 Peter chapter 1, yea, I call, I think it meet as long as I am with you in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Chapter 3 and verse 1, the second epistle I now write unto you, in both which I stir your pure minds by way of remembrance. It keeps you excited. You know, sometimes I come to church and we aren't, it's just kind of a down day and the church isn't it's a small day and it's not a real big crowd and things aren't great and no one else seems excited. You know, I can say, oh no. You know, a lot of pastors are motivated by crowds, and when the crowd's up, they're up. When the crowd's down, they're down. You know what? All I have to do is remember when I started the church and nobody was here. Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, five people, seven people, my five for my family, nine people, five people, seven people, five people, 11 people, nine people, five people, five people, five people, seven people. Setting up the whole church, getting everything set up, putting the pulpit out, setting up chairs, doing everything, and not a soul shows up. You know, if I remember that, it's a pretty good night tonight. It's a pretty good night tonight. By the way, it's a good crowd for a Sunday night. You know what? Remembering stirs you up. It makes you appreciate what you have. It makes you excited about good things. It stirs you up. You can stir up a lot of things. If you start thinking about 9/11, you get stirred up. Memorial Day, you get stirred up when you start thinking about people giving their lives. Remembering stirs your mind up, and it stirs you up for God. So you want to remember. Remembering becomes a marker of where you are and where you were and where you've gone to. Let me take you to Revelation and chapter 2. It's a real important point in verse 5. It reminds you of where you are, where you've come. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, remember therefore from whence, that's from where, thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or also come into quickly and remove the candlestick out of his place. He says, remember from where he came from. You know, have you ever been in the water and not knowing you're moving? Because you weren't looking at anything on the side? we like to go, our family, one of our favorite things to do is we like to swim. And sometimes we'll go out of town, we look for a place with a good swimming pool and a jacuzzi. And one of the weirdest thing, funnest things to do, I like to just go in the jacuzzi and close my eyes and get pushed around by the bubbles, by the jets, and see where I end up. I know, I'm easily amused. And so, you know, you'd be surprised. You ever say, which way am I facing? I didn't know I was facing that way. You know, in life, you will start drifting spiritually. And there's a bunch of signs. I don't have time to go into them right now. But usually, you can drift spiritually a long way, especially if you are around worldly things, because your norm starts looking bad, starts looking very normal. Because you see and hear, especially television, it numbs you, it desensitizes you to bad. And pretty soon you've slid a long way, unless you remember from where you fell. You know, I used to read my Bible and pray. I used to have a happy spirit. I used to have joy. I used to love the church. You need to look at the marker there. I was right in the middle of Puget Sound. I thought everything's fine. I look over and I was sitting there and I was in Des Moines. And now I'm, there's the Narrows Bridge. What happened? You gotta remember where you were. You gotta pay attention. And remember, listen, it's called backsliding if you're not where you once were. You slid backward. But God says, remember from where you fell. It shows you where you've come. And many times you won't even know you're wrong unless you remember where you were. Remember when you're excited? Remember when you had joy? Remember when you weren't angry all the time? Remember when you loved the Word of God? You just start remembering where you were. And it does those things. So, because of that, remembrance helps so much. We see back in Numbers there that God gives us this thing to remember. And he has the Jewish people, he has them have these fringes in their clothing. And every time they look at them, they say, oh, look at that. Maybe that's what ties were invented for. I can't figure out anything else, any other use of these things. Every time I look at it, I remember, no, it doesn't work. And I remember the only use of these things is to sneeze into, or if I don't like somebody, grab it and choke them. But you go and they look and they say, oh, look at that, the blue and the, oh yeah, the Word of God. That's right. Remember, I went and did my own thing and I went into sin. I remember now the Word of God. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt. And it reminded. So God gives up. The Lord knows that we need to be able to remember. This is dear to my heart right now. I have had serious memory problems for 4 years, I think. And my doctor wasn't concerned about my short-term memory loss. He was concerned about my long-term memory loss. A lot of things that you remember from a kid or from decades ago that you just never forget. Those things started, I lost those things. And so I was in the doctor this week. Was this week? I don't remember. And I was in for an MRI to scan brain, see if anything's wrong up there. They checked my head and found nothing there. But we went in for that check, and they wanted to see. And I find that now my memory is not as good. I have to do a lot of things not to forget things. And God says, you know, humans forget things. Let me go ahead and give you some ways to remember. So God in the Bible has a bunch of memorizing things. Now, we're not under these things. These are law many times. You don't have to wear something hanging off your clothing. Okay? That's Deuteronomy, that's Numbers, that's law, that's for the Jewish people. You don't have to do that. If it'll help you, it'll help you. People look at you strange. We had a couple guys come to church one time who were keeping Old Testament stuff, and they had those things hanging off there, and me being Mr. Curious said, hey, why do you wear those things? And they told me all about them and explained them to me. These things, and by the way, these things, many Jews still have them in different ways, and there's a word for it now that they use, Zizeth, and they have things like that, and there's some other names for it they use, and they have these things. So it's to remember. Let me give you some examples of things that God gave them a way to remember. For example, the Passover celebration. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, and then I'm just going to just give you the important part of what I want to say to you right at the end. And if you're going to listen to any part of the sermon and be here for any part, I want you to listen to the rest of it. Deuteronomy 16, where are we going to be? How many people got what I just said? four of you. It's encouraging. That's right. It would help. I know it would help if I smiled and laughed. Deuteronomy 16 and the Passover celebration. Watch how God wants to remember stuff through it. He gave him a holiday to remember. By the way, Memorial Day. That's what it's for. Deuteronomy 16, observe a month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God, for in the month of Abib the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt at night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice a Passover and do those things. Verse 3, thou shalt eat no leavened bread in it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou came forth out of the land of Egypt. All the days of thy life, and he explains it. So he made this Passover celebration so that he remember Egypt. Okay? How about communion? Communion, this do in remembrance of me. Jesus said, I don't want you to forget the cross and my broken body and my shed blood. So I'm gonna make this thing called communion to make it easy to remember these things. Why? Because we humans forget important things. You know, it's a strange thing. We don't forget what time the Super Bowl starts, do we? We don't forget our favorite things. But things are, it's strange. Unimportant things are easier to remember. But important things many times, I'm talking spiritual things. I think the devil has a way of trying to just distract you and making you forget what really matters. Look at Proverbs. Watch how God tells you, remember this thing. Here's some ways to remember it. And God gets real serious about it, about remembering things. Wisdom, Proverbs chapter 3. We're supposed to remember wisdom. Remember the words that have been given to us that are wisdom. Proverbs chapter 3. And watch how God says, hey, remember to remember. Proverbs 3:3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. And write them upon the table of thine heart. Now, you can't really write on your heart. It's figurative. Bind them about your neck. Why? You won't forget it's there. It's like that's why a tie's there. And you see that. So God says, hey, this is so important. You better make sure you remember this stuff. Chapter 6 and verse 21. 20 and 21. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. He's saying, hey, do something to remember this stuff by. Chapter 7, verse 3. Bind them on thy fingers and write them on the table of thine heart. The table of thine heart is saying, hey, put them deep inside of you. Don't just be a fake thing. By the way, remember when Jesus said in Matthew 23, he says, the Pharisees have broadened their phylacteries. That was those little what do you want to call them? The little tassels at the bottom of the thing. They made huge ones to really show how much they remember. They were doing it to show off. They missed the heart of it. They had these. Look at, he's got 75,000 tassels hanging. He's so spiritual, and that's what they ended up doing. And so it's not for the show. It's really to remember. And here in chapter 7 and verse 3, bind them upon the fingers, right? So it's supposed to be a real heart thing. And then bind them upon your fingers. You ever write in your hand? You ever tie a string on your hand and forget why you tied it there? And I can't tie strings in my hand. I'd lose them. I'd break them. But you know, it's saying, hey, do that. And if that works for you. Why? Because God's saying, you make sure you work at remembering these things. Get them in your heart, but also, hey, bind them about your neck. Bind them on your fingers. Do these things. And let's turn back to Deuteronomy. He's going to say, write them everywhere around you and keep them in a clear place to remember. Why? Because remembering, Deuteronomy 6:6-9, because remembering is so important. Deuteronomy 6:6-9. He says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest down in the house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, hey, look at there, and shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. He's saying, I'm serious. I want you to understand you've got to be reminded of these words. It's, the word of God is so important. You've got to remember it. And he's saying, bind it on your fingers, tie it about your neck, write it on your forehead, but make sure you do something to remember it. Let's see, verse 9, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. Write them on the front of your house. So you'll see them when you go into your house. You're remembering. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. We're almost done here, but I want you to get how God keeps emphasizing this. You've got to remember to remember. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart, in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. It's like it's right in front of your eyes all the time. And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking to them, and all the time. And 20, thou shalt write them upon the door of posts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, to be blessed. And he says that. And one more passage, and we'll be done. Deuteronomy 27, and I'll talk to you for just a moment here. Deuteronomy 27. I'm just proving to you real clearly, God says you need to make sure you remember to remember, so take steps that are going to remind you. Deuteronomy 27, and this is verse 1 through 8. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you. Okay, keep them. And then you go and grab some great stones and plaster these stones with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law, when thou art passed over, thou mightest go into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land which floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord thy God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when you are gone over Jordan, ye shall set these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt build an altar unto the Lord thy God of stones, and shall not lay any iron tool upon them, and thou shalt build an altar, and then verse 8, thou shalt write upon the stones the words of this law very plainly. Okay, you see how many different ways God's saying, put them everywhere. Have them on your clothing. Have them on between your eyes. Tie a string. Write in your hand. Put them on your doorpost. Make an altar. Write on the rocks so you can remember to keep this law. Now, I started the Bible Memorization Club. We call it the Workman's Club. Out of the verse, study this, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, when I was a teenager. And we started training people to memorize the Bible, and I'd memorize two verses a day and try to get everybody I could who'd come. We'd have about a dozen people who'd come, and we would memorize the scripture, and worked very hard at memorizing the scripture. And I found out that everybody does not memorize the same. My memorization is very simple. I repeat it and repeat it and repeat it out loud, over and over and over again, and I have it. I'm looking at it from the same writing, same book, same Bible, same 3x5 card, whatever, however I'm memorizing it, it's got to look the same to me every time. I'm very visual. It's got to be in the same place. The word's got to be the same place in the page. And then I do a bunch of things, like I'll take the first letter of each verse and make some kind of silly acrostic so I can remember how each verse starts. And I got this big process, and I try to teach people how to memorize. Now, me, I have to just quote it over and over and over and over again. Let the words of my mouth. Okay, got that. I'd say it about 5 or 7 times. And the meditations of my heart's next phrase. And the meditation of my heart. Then if I thought I had it, I'd go back to start. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Okay, good, got it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation. And I just say it a gazillion times. And by the way, I can still quote those verses because I said it so many times. But other people, they take out a 3x5 card. And they'd write it over and over and over. And that doesn't work for me. First of all, I can't read what I wrote. Secondly, I lose a card because I can't remember where it is. But that doesn't work for me. But they write it over and over and over. No problem. That works for you? Works for you. There's 1,000 different ways you can do it. Some people are very good at it. Some are very natural. Some aren't. Here's what I find. Everybody doesn't remember the same. That's why God gave them a bunch of different ways to remember important things. Now, here's a whole sermon. Obviously, in the Bible, I just use a lot of Bible, Old and New Testament, to show you that you need to remember to remember. Because you know what? You'll go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and you forgot to read your Bible. You'll forget to pray if you're not careful. You will forget, and you'll go do that same sin again. You'll forget that you're wasting all your time and doing this or doing that or wasting time not doing important things, and you'll forget how you always waste your week. You ever get to the end of your week and say, you know, I blew another week. And you do not remember in the process usually. Usually when the devil lets your memory come back of what you just did is afterward. Oh, I forgot how miserable I am when I do this. Why did I do that again? Because you didn't remember to remember. So what I want you to do, what God wants you to do from all these passages, is you've got to figure out a way to remember what you should and shouldn't do. Okay, Pastor, how to do that? This sermon's a little different because I want you know you. You can tell your spouse, can you remind me the next time I do this that I'm stupid? Or you can put it on the mirror. Now, I avoid mirrors for obvious reasons. And I don't spend much time in front of the mirror. I'm not one of the people who spent 45 minutes in front of the mirror. But some of you, man, as long as you spend sitting in front of the mirror, you could read the whole Bible in the morning. And so you could put it on your mirror. Some people could write a Bible verse on the inside of their hand. You can go and put something on your keychain with some verses. You can go and you can maybe take a 3 or 5 card and put it in your pocket for the day. And every time, you can pull out whatever you need to remember. And just write a statement to yourself. Do not answer this person back that way today. Do not yell back at them. Because that's what you struggle with. That's what you need to remember to do. Read your Bible today. You can find some way. I want you to say, what should I not do? Or what should I do? Maybe it's reading your Bible. Maybe it's quit cussing. Maybe it's quit killing people. If it's that, please remember. And whatever it is you want to remember, or make sure you pray, whatever you want to do, I want you to rack your brain for a minute and say what. Now, some of you got that smartphone and use it for something useful besides going all day. Make it get an alarm and go, you haven't read your Bible today. And do something like that. And do that right as bedtime. I like that idea. That's a good one, huh? I'm gonna do that again. But you can go do that. And your smartphone will go off and say, "Have you read your Bible today?" Right when bedtime comes. But I want you to think. Now, I don't know if you need to have some fringe hanging from your clothes or have some little placard hanging over your ears and over your forehead. Don't do that when you're driving. But what works for you? How can you remember to stop doing this dumb thing? How can you remember, I need to do this thing here. I need to love this person. Tell my wife I love her many times today. And say, hey, by the way, just say, honey, remind me to tell you I love you. She'll do it. But find something and find some way to remember. Have your wife say, honey, did you go snuggle the kids today? I mean, what do you need to do? You're going to keep forgetting. Your memory does not get better as you get older. Listen, I hit 25 a couple years ago. It's been downhill since. And as your memory goes, and you keep, the devil will not let you remember the important things, and you'll just keep on saying, oh, I did it again. Don't do that. But make yourself remember. Think, what can I do? What do I not want to do, and what do I do want to do? And how can I make myself remember? God kept all these holidays, all these, bind them on your finger. He said it so many ways. He gave us communion. Why? Because we're forgetful people of important things. So I want you, before you leave the room tonight, to think, what can I do this week to remember? What works for me? How can I get myself to not do this week? Because you know, if you remind yourself, it does all these good things, and it usually says, you know, I'm not going to do this. I remember now what it feels like afterward. Whatever you need to do that, put it on the fridge. Some of you are there 30 times a day, and so you'll remember better. boy, nobody's going to come back to church next week. I've insulted everybody. And so remember, I want you tonight to say, I'm going to remember. What will I do on purpose to do what God kept telling Israel to do? Remember these things. Remember to remember. It's important. There's things that are important enough that you need to remember to do them. How many forget important things sometimes? Yeah. Let's not forget the word of God and prayer and loving people and our families and all the important things of life. You figure it out. We're going to pray in a sec. I want you to be thinking, or maybe you already have. What can I do that will help me? And then you might have to experiment and tweak, but I want you to remember what's important. Let's pray. Lord, obviously you're very big on remembering things and even using methods to do so. And Lord, we don't have these fringes in our clothes, but Lord, maybe something like that will work for us, Lord. I just pray that each one of us today, tonight, you'd speak to us. You would tell us what we need to do, how we need to remember not to do that or to do this. I pray we'd be practical in our lives and do something very carefully. I pray that we do what we ought to do. I pray that we'd be purposeful. And I pray when the devil gives us 1,000 other things to think about so we forget what's really important, we would have a reminder that would keep us from that. Lord, whatever it is that we need to do, I pray you'd give us wisdom because we maybe don't know yet what's the best way. And I pray you put it on our heart. But help us to take time to remember to remember. We pray you'd help us in these things. You'd speak to our hearts. Thank you for even helping us to remember salvation. We shouldn't have to be reminded of that. But Lord, you even give us things to remember that. Please put it in our hearts to be disciplined in this thing and to find something way and something to do this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed.